241 had been entrained for its camp, there had been no banners, no bunting, no brass band, no decorated streets and office buildings. The boys had gone away in a rather quiet fashion. Fathers and mothers, sisters and sweethearts, had come down to the train, and there had been abundant leave-taking after a fashion, but nothing exuberant or demonstrative. When the train finally pulled out, there was a cheer, and some waving handkerchiefs and hats, and hands reached up to the windows out of which the boys were leaning, and bundles and baskets of fruit and candy and lunches were caught at by smiling-faced lads, and the crowd had lingered round the station until the train was out of sight. And then it had scattered, very quietly and soberly, and eyes that had bravely and steadily looked into other eyes undimmed, now filled, and the step faltered in anticipatory thought of the unknown future for Ambulance Company No. 241. But the homecoming, ah, that was a different story. Bradford put on all its holiday and convention clothes. It spread its colors lavishly to the breeze. There was not a store, an office, a house, or even a barn, without its token of welcome. Main Street was a fluttering rainbow. The little depot, which had not been painted for a good many months, was almost covered up with the colors of the sky, the sunrise, and the starlight. And the tragedy of it all to Amos Thatcher was the plain fact that he could not be everywhere at once to get all the views he wanted. There was the Main Street, and the post office, and the courthouse, and Dr. Grant's home. Gramp was the company captain, and he was coming back with decorations pinned on him by Clemenceau himself. And there was the depot, and the incoming train, and the churches, and the G.A.R., and the mayor, and city officials, and the fire department, and the procession which had formed, and was even now extended all the way from the depot to the post office. To be sure, there were two other photographers in Bradford, but they were women, and Amos secretly sniffed at them and their outfit as altogether impossible and inadequate for the great occasion. He had flitted nervously all over town that morning, getting snapshots of nearly everything, but had finally come down to the depot to catch the boys at the exciting moment of their arrival. He planted his camera up against the end of the depot, put his black box with its plates down by it, and turning around as he rose, he knocked the hat off a man in the crowd. "Why don't you?" Amos started to complain irritably, and then, almost with comical rapidity, his own hat came off, and he dived down after the other man's. "Dr. Ward, I beg your pardon. All my fault. Here." He picked up the hat and handed it to the man, who took it with a smile that seemed to irradiate the atmosphere in a circle like a personal halo. "It's all right, Thatcher. I got in your way." Amos Thatcher looked at Dr. Ward wistfully. "That's fiction, doctor, but we understand you. Tell you what, while we're waiting, give me a group. You and Mrs. Ward and Esther. Where's Mary?"
"Down at the other end of the platform," said the doctor. "But I..."
"Don't refuse me, doctor. Think of it. Here I have loaded down with hydroquinone and sulfite of soda and carbonate and bromide of potassium and pyro at $6 a pound and hypo and alum and acetic acid at $1.25 a gallon and maytol at $100 a pound. Just think of that, doctor, and it used to be $5. And just think of all the pictures going to waste here today."
And Amos groaned as his eye took in the wealth of impossible chances on this day of Bradford's great celebration.
"You don't mind just this once, do you, doctor?" Amos pleaded. "You have never given me a good chance at you, and here is Richard coming home with the Croix de Guerre, and all that, and I want Mary in it, too."
Dr. Ward smiled again, and returned Amos's pleading look with one that meant yielding affirmation.
"Mary is at the other end of the platform with the rest of the high school, but, oh well, come, Sarah Esther, it's only one day out of a lifetime. Give Amos his chance."
"Out here," cried Amos, eagerly pushing through the crowd to a sunny spot outside the circle around the depot.
And the crowd turned with real interest and amusement at the sight of Dr. Ward, his wife, and their oldest daughter forming a picture for Thatcher. For in all the history of Bradford, so far, no one had ever known Dr. Ward to have his picture taken, far less to stand for a group with his wife and daughter. So the crowd was at a high tension of excitement as it viewed the unusual sight with almost as much interest as Amos himself, who, when he had succeeded in posing the doctor and Mrs. Ward and Esther as they wanted them, turned about to find every person at that end of the little depot standing in a half-circle, as if there were a real audience to a real show. Amos grinned at the sight, but turned his back on the crowd to give the doctor a direction.
"I can't get a good picture with your hat on, doctor. You will take it off, won't you? Just a little farther in, Miss Esther. There, that's better. Miss Ward, if you please, a trifle back, just a trifle. Thank you."
Amos held up his hand, adjusted the cloth, put his head under it, and at that precise moment the engine whistle blew.
"They're coming, they're coming."
The whole crowd surged down to the track. Dr. Ward, dragged by Esther and Mrs. Ward, followed, and Amos emerged from the black cloth to find his picture.